Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
We want to focus now on another area of criminal justice reform that lawmakers are considering this year, and that's how the system handles young people. A bill under consideration in the state Senate would raise the age of offenders sent to juvenile court from 18 to 21 years old. Ashland State Senator Karen Spilka sponsored the legislation.
We are imposing sentences on young adults, emerging adults, and instead of giving them the rehabilitation, the possibility of continuing their schooling, the supportive services to really help them get on track, get back on track, we are treating them as adults before their brain actually gets settled.
Joining us to talk about this are two people with experience in juvenile justice. Vincent Schiraldi is a senior research fellow directing the program in criminal justice policy and management at the Harvard Kennedy School. Welcome.
Thank you.
Also joining us is James DiGianvittorio, chief of the Middleton Police Department and president of the Massachusetts Chiefs of Police. Chief, welcome.
Good afternoon.
So, Vinny, first I'm going to start with you. You're in favor of raising the age to 21 for juvenile offenders. Why?
Well, for anybody who's got a 22-year-old son sleeping in their basement, the science is finally catching up, I think, to what a lot of parents' experience is, which is that these young people are not exactly as mature as fully mature adults are. And that plays itself out in a lot of ways that aren't necessarily their fault, but there's something that we really need to pay attention to as a society if we want to be safer.
And is that different now than what it had been in the past?
Yeah, absolutely. First of all, we have better science now to know that there's different brain development that young people go through, that there's different developmental psychology. But also, society's just changed a lot over the years that the juvenile court existed. Back when it was founded in 1899, 18-year-old young boys were men. And now they're entering college. They're just starting on their life of becoming fully mature adults. And we really haven't changed our system dramatically. And as a result, we're getting pretty bad outcomes for this particular population of young people versus everybody else.
I think a lot of people might say, you know, don't do the crime if you can't do the time kind of thing, right? I mean, we need to, you know, you need to be tough. You need to have consequences.
Absolutely. And they should be held accountable, no question about it. This is about my safety. It's about your safety. It's about public safety.
How so?
If we can turn these young people's lives around when they're 18, 19, 20, there's a whole lifetime ahead of them of being the kind of productive citizens we want them to be, rather than getting rearrested and cycling back through the system over and over, which they do now, more than any other age group.
Hmm. All right, Chief, I want you to weigh in on this because I understand you're on the other side of the fence. So can you tell us why you do not think we should lift the age of juvenile offenders?
Well, obviously, we have a program in place now with the Youthful Offenders Program where we take in young adults into the system through diversion programs, counseling, mentoring, and it works. I mean, we have 70% of all cases and the juveniles are resolved or either resolved or dismissed prior to, but there are some, there are bad apples out there. There are some hardened criminals at 18, 19, 20 years old, 21 years old, and to put them into a system with a juvenile, I don't believe makes sense.
Hmm. You think it harms the other juveniles?
Absolutely. You're figuring a 14, 15, or 16-year-old juvenile is more vulnerable than a 25, 26, 27-year-old male in a prison, as far as I'm concerned. To put a 21-year-old into a juvenile facility just is irresponsible.
But what about Mr. Schiraldi's assessment here that what we're doing right now with young people is having them cycle through a system that then really just sort of doesn't ever, it makes it very difficult for them to get out and become law-abiding, productive citizens after that?
Well, as you said, don't do the crime if you can't do the time. But obviously, we're not looking to. There are some bad apples, and we know that. But in order to make this work, it comes from training, education, resources, knowledge. I mean, it can work. We know it can work. It's just putting the right resources in the right place.
Well, what does that mean, though?
Well, I believe that if you change the age to 21, first of all, I don't think our juvenile system as we see it today can handle that amount of volume. You'd have to put millions of dollars into that program. And I don't think the state's ready to do that.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Schroeder.
So over the last year, we've been meeting with a group of Massachusetts-based practitioners. That's the judges, the prosecutors, the defense, the sheriffs, the Department of Youth Services and Probation, as well as several program providers, to discuss this very recommendation. So Department of Youth Services was there the entire time, and they believe, and I think the rest of the room believes, that they could handle these 18, 19, and 20-year-olds actually better than they're being handled right now in the houses of corrections and state prisons. Mm. These young people have the highest recidivism rate when they come out of jail and prison, and they stay the longest in there. So we're spending a lot of resources on them, but those jails are not really tailored to meet their needs, so they're reoffending when they come out, whereas everybody in the juvenile system is getting education. Many of them are getting workforce development and counseling, the very things they'll need not to return to a life of crime.
Chief, I'm wondering, you said that you were concerned that if you raise the age here, it could potentially harm other juvenile offenders who are in juvenile facilities. But at the same token, can't an adult incarceration experience particularly harm the youthful offender? It would seem so. And are there other ways, then, to improve the system for these young offenders?
Well, I believe it comes from if they are incarcerated, obviously the programs that they have in jail would help structure the knowledge and the information to the young adult into a process of trying to get them on the right track. As we stated before, we're not 100% against this program. It's just I think you need to go slowly, move forward slowly. Maybe do it year and then check the statistics for 3 or 4 years. The problem is it's very difficult to find out exactly why the crime rate has come down. There's so many different factors. So I think we need time to do it rather than just go from 18 to 21. What happens after that? What do we go to 25? Do we go to 26? I mean, I understand that they say a young adult has issues maturing, but I believe it's a matter of upbringing, a matter of training. I just recently returned from a trip to Israel where we witnessed firsthand, it was a counterterrorism task force trip. Every young adult in Israel goes into the service at the age of 18. They know that when they're 2, they know that when they're 15. And some of those young adults that we dealt with are flying jets at age 19 and 20. It's just a whole different culture. Mm. We need to change the culture.
At the same token, it's my understanding, Mr. Sherrill, that you went to Germany and looked at a prison overseas that you feel has a system that we might take some lessons from.
Well, first of all, I want to say Chief and I don't disagree on everything, as he pointed out. I mean, and I want to give him kudos for the rates of diversion that they have in Middleton. I don't think that's a statewide effort, that different chiefs do it different ways in different cities and counties, but I just want to give him kudos for that and say that what we're hoping to do is to sort of provide the kinds of services and supports to help improve public safety statewide that I think we're seeing in Middleton. Even in Middlesex County, though, 45% of the young adults in the Middlesex County jail don't have a high school diploma or an equivalency. If you go into a DYS, a Department of Youth Services juvenile facility, you'll see every kid in that facility going to school 5 or 6 hours a day. The last thing we want is for some young person, be they 16 or 19, to come out of a correctional facility without an education, because they're going to reoffend if they do.
Right.
I did go to Germany. In Germany, they've been trying kids in the juvenile system up to age 21 since 1953, and the facility I went in had kids from 15 years old to 25 years old. They were all tried in the juvenile court, and they could stay in that facility till 25. It was the best facility I'd ever been in. There were vocational and educational and counseling programs for all the kids, but it had nothing on the Department of Youth Services here in Massachusetts. I mean, one of the things that people in this room that came up with this idea, in which was meeting at Roca in Chelsea, those folks felt very strongly that the Department of Youth Services is a better place for 18, 19, and 20-year-olds to be rehabilitated even while they're being held accountable than a jail or a prison was. And I think if we were talking about our own kids, most of us would feel absolutely the same way.
Right. Well, Chief, I don't know if you have anything further you'd like to comment on that. And we only have about a minute left. And I did want to ask you about the latest information that we received today on potential changes to federal immigration rules. We heard that the Homeland Security Department is expanding the number of people who would be considered a deportation priority. I'm wondering what you think about that.
Well, we haven't seen it on the state level yet. Obviously, they're dealing with it on a federal level. That's something that it's on our radar. We're talking about it at our meetings, but we haven't seen it at a state level yet.
Several cities have declared that they're sanctuary cities and will not have local police look for illegal immigrants and notify federal authorities. What do you think about that?
Again, it's up to the individual cities and towns, but it's nothing that we haven't been doing already. I mean, we've been doing our job as police officers since day one. We're bringing the criminals to justice. The problem is sometimes we don't have the resources available. If we find someone who's an illegal alien, sometimes we don't get the support. Maybe now that things have changed, we'll see that, but it hasn't been that way in the past.
All right. James DiGianVittorio, Chief of the Middleton Police Department, President of the Massachusetts Chiefs of Police, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Also, Vincent Schiraldi, Senior Research Fellow, directing the Program in Criminal Justice Policy and Management at Harvard's Kennedy School. Thank you.
Thanks for having me on.
Stay with us. Coming up, we're going to talk about some of the immigration rules and other things with UMass President Marty Meehan, who will join us in studio. I'm Deborah Becker, and this is Radio Boston.